The title of the message is "The Lord I Serve," and we're going to begin in the book of Psalms, if you will, please, chapter number 8. Psalms chapter number 8 for our starting place tonight. And then if you want to go ahead and get the next verse, we'll be in Psalms chapter 19. Psalms chapter 8 and Psalms chapter 19, "The Lord I Serve." In Psalms chapter number 8, beginning in verse number 3, we find that King David has this to write. "When I consider the heavens," what does consider mean? Does it not mean to think, to ponder over, to... "When I consider the heavens, the work of thy fingers, the moon and the stars which thou hast ordained, what is man that thou art mindful of him, and the sons of man that thou visitest him?" And then over in chapter number 19, if you will, please, beginning in verse number 1. Again, David writes for our thought tonight, "The heavens declare the glory of God. The firmament showeth his handiwork. Day unto day uttereth speech, and night unto night showeth knowledge. There is no speech nor language where their voice is not heard. Their line is gone out throughout all the earth, and their words to the end of the world. In them hath he set a tabernacle for the sun, which is as a bride coming out of his chamber, and rejoices as a strong man to run a race. His going forth is from the end of heaven, and his circuit is unto the ends of it, and there is nothing hid from the heat thereof." We'll stop reading there tonight. Father, thank you tonight. I pray that you'd help us to be a blessing and encouragement, Lord, and a help to these who have been faithful to your house, faithful to your word, Lord, faithful to the work of God. We'll praise you for it all in Jesus' name. Amen. Sometimes I think we need to, from time to time, to stop and rethink who it is that we serve. We need to revalue, I think, sometimes our relationship with the one who has called us to eternal life and the one who one day will be called by every inhabitant of the world King of Kings and Lord of Lords. The world has a very poor, distorted, and humanistic view and opinion of the Lord Jesus Christ. But because of our relationship in and with the world, we sometimes allow their opinion to spill over onto us and to flood over into our minds and hearts. Also, we allow it to affect our lives. And we begin to dread the service that at one time was just as natural as breathing. And that service was more satisfying than anything on planet Earth. Do you remember when serving the Lord Jesus was the greatest thing in life? Nothing could top it. Nothing could beat it. Waiting all the time for an opportunity to do something that you knew would please the Lord Jesus. Nothing is so satisfying. Tonight, with the help of the Lord, I want to do a little bit of a reintroduction to each of us to remind us of the power, the strength, and the abilities of the Lord Jesus. This ought to spur us to greater heights than ever for the cause of Christ. I don't know if you've had the privilege, perhaps not recently, but maybe you can remember time past, when maybe you were out in the back country somewhere, you're up on a high mountain. I was thinking today about the slogan for Montana. It's the big sky country. And you can go places in Montana, you can be 100 miles from the nearest little village, little hick place, and boy, there's a lot of places to put this into practice. But when you're there on a mountain all alone, or I guess probably if you were on a beach somewhere, not hindered by mountains and lights of the city and so forth, probably would be the same thing, where you look up into the heavens and it just seems like it's a whole world of diamonds sparkling back at you, and they seem like they're so thick and so close together, they almost make a tapestry or a carpet that you could walk across, or a highway that you could drive down. To see the Milky Way and its splendor and its magnificence literally looks like you could drive a semi-truck down across it and have room to spare on either side by a long, long ways. Carl Boberg was a Swedish songwriter. He wrote a song back way back when, and I think we can find it here in our songbook, the date that he wrote the song. It was later it was translated, according to our songbook, it was later translated into Romanian, and then after that it was translated into English in 1929. The song is How Great Thou Art. The songwriter wrote this: O Lord my God, when I in awesome wonder consider all the works thy hands have made, I see the stars, I hear the mighty thunder, I always heard it, the roaring thunder, thy power throughout the universe displayed. Then sings my soul, my Savior gone to thee, how great thou art, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior gone to thee, how great thou art, how great thou art. The stars are the Lord's oldest creatures. One of the things I admire about them is they never tire of praising the Lord. The praise that they would give to Him today is every bit as equal to the praise they gave Him the day that He created them. And they sang together because of their Creator. They never are intimidated by man. It doesn't matter who's in the White House. It doesn't matter what land says that they're in charge. It doesn't matter. They're not intimidated by that. The stars sing the same song they've always sung, and it's to the glory of our God. The poet said this: My Father is all-powerful. Of this you can't deny. A God of might and miracles, it's written in the sky. It took a miracle to put the stars in place. It took a miracle to hang the world in space. But when He saved my soul, cleansed and made me whole, it took a miracle of love and grace. I was visiting with someone a while back about the atomic clock in Boulder, Colorado. The atomic clock in Boulder, Colorado is the It's the Duden. It's the number one clock in all the known world. And I began to ask myself the question, how is it that they set that clock? If they had to change time on it, how would they do that? And what method do they use to do that? And I began to do some studying, and I found out that they actually set the clock by power that is emitted from spinning neutron stars. Now, don't ask me what a spinning neutron star is. I have no idea. But from this spinning neutron star, which is actually what's left over after a star explodes, it's that which gets back together, and it's spinning somewhere or another and throwing off these rays, I would assume maybe an atomic ray of some kind. And from there, they adjust. That is what they use to set the atomic clock in Boulder, Colorado. I remember when Accutron came out with a watch, and it had something, I think they called it a wishbone in there, and it was like a tuning fork, and it sent out a vibration and a tone, and that was what they used to set the accuracy of the Accutron watch. And I think when I first heard of it, it had a plus or minus of, and I'm not sure about this, 10 seconds in a year, or maybe less than that. But the atomic clock in Boulder, Colorado, today, has an accuracy of plus or minus 1 second in 80 million years. 1 second plus or minus in 80 million years, and it's set by the stars that we walk under all the time and take for granted that they were created by the Jesus that lives in your heart if you're saved. Now, it may prove that it's false. If in 80 million years you find out that it's off by 2 seconds, send all complaints to the National Institute of Standards and Technology in Boulder, Colorado, and let them correct it for you. Isn't that something? Romans 1 and verse number 20 says, the invisible things of him are from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Our friends and family and loved ones who laugh and mock and scoff, ridicule what we believe, the Bible says they're without excuse. They don't have an excuse. Who's this talking about? The Bible asks the question, who hath measured the waters in the hollow of his hand and meted out heaven with the span? I thought, well, what does that mean, with the span? And it simply means that he just took heaven and flung it out there. He meted out with a span and comprehended the dust of the earth in a measure. We don't know how much dust and dirt's under our refrigerator. And God knows how much dust and so forth in the entire world. The Bible says that he has comprehended that, the dust of the earth in a measure. He weighed the scales or the mountains in scales. Can you imagine the awesomeness of a God that put Long's Peak or Pike's Peak maybe on one part of the scale and maybe Mount Everest on the other part of the scale, and God watched those scales tip and God maybe added to or took away to come out exactly like, I don't know how he figured that all out. But the Bible says he weighed the mountains in a scale and the hills in a balance. Who hath directed the Spirit of the Lord, or being his counselor, hath taught him? With whom took he counsel, and who instructed him and taught him in the path of judgment, and taught him knowledge, and showed him in the way of understanding? Behold, the nations are as a drop of a bucket, and are counted as a small dust of the balance. Behold, he taketh up the islands as a very little thing. You know, we have missionaries in the islands off of Fiji. We think of the Hawaiian Islands. And the Bible says that God taketh them up as a very little thing. Are you starting maybe to get the picture of the God that we serve is not a Mickey Mouse God? No one has ever seen the Lord in his full essence of power. Moses was allowed by God to be hid in a cleft of a rock, and God covered him there with his hand and walked by. And just as he walked by, he moved his hand for just a moment. And the Bible says that Moses saw the hinder parts of God, and he was so affected by that that his face shone. Man, they talk about LED lights and HID lights and all that being so bright and so stunning. Was nothing compared to Moses when he had seen the Lord. I think maybe sometimes if we'd look a little stronger towards the Lord, our face might shine a little better than what it does. The Bible says that his face shone. God's glory outshines that of the sun. If you were to look directly at the sun for very long at a time, it would blind you. I remember when I was a young person in school, they were getting ready because they weren't planning it. They were just preparing because it was coming. God had worked it out to where we're going to have an eclipse. And the teacher brought in a whole bunch of shoe boxes, took the top off the shoe box and told us to go to one end of the shoe box and put just a little pinhole. Just a little pinhole. We were instructed to go out, and they kept telling us, now, don't look at the sun. Don't look at the sun. If you do, it can harm your eyes. Don't look at the sun. When that moon started passing between the sun and the earth, and it started blackening out, people having to have the opportunity, and they take the risk of looking at it, and it causes damage to the eyes. So the teacher continually said, don't look at it. Don't look at it. Don't look at it. I don't know why they had us out there. They knew some of us fools were going to look at it. But we had that hole poked in the end there. We were supposed to point out at the sun. And then through that little pinhole, we were supposed to look down at this end of the box where that shine came through there. And over here, you could see the moon passing past the sun. It would block it out and block it out and block it out. And finally, you'd have no light at all coming into your box as the sun was blacked out and the eclipse took place. That's nothing compared to God. Nothing. Nothing whatsoever. And of course we find that the problem is we don't look hard enough, I think. In our text, the Bible says, the heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth His handiwork. To declare means to continuously do what He's supposed to do. And the heavens continually brag about Jesus. No time out. No days off. No excuses. The fool has said in his heart, there is no God, and the sun shouts back by day and says, you're wrong. God is. And the fool comes back again and says, there is no God. He said in his heart, there is no God. And the sun and the moon shout by night, you are so very wrong. God is. And we need to understand that. Somebody said, what are we going to do if they remove "In God We Trust" from all of our coins? I think it'll be a sad day if they do that. But I'll guarantee you what, they'll never remove "In God We Trust" from the stars. They'll always be there. It'll always be there. It has been said that the message of the heavens is so powerful, the dead can hear it. And it's so penetrating that the spiritually blind can see it. And we forget that God of all that power resides within us. The Lord spoke to Abraham when he was 127 years old. He had one legitimate son. And the Bible says that in blessing I will bless thee, in multiplying I will multiply thy seed as the stars of heaven and as the sand which is upon the seashore, and thy seed shall possess the gates of the enemy. I wonder if Abraham ever walked out at night and looked at the stars and looked over at this by then 17, 18, 19-year-old boy. And said, I wonder. I wonder if he ever went down by the sea and reached down and scooped up a handful of sand and watched it fall away and looked over at his boy and said, I wonder. But the Bible says that what he did was, the Bible says, Abraham believed God and it was counted unto him for righteousness. Oh, how we need to understand. That's the God that lives in us. Somebody said, and I think it's a false tale, but somebody said when the president is in the city, the flag is up at the White House, and when he's out, it's down. I don't think that's true, but it's been said that. But I know this. It may not be true that when the flag is down, the president is not home, but I know this. When the stars are out, God's home. Just exactly where he's supposed to be. And yet, when we think about the power of God, the power that he has for us, the interest that he has in us, the concern that he has for us, we look at all the world and we say, my, oh my, oh my. Our conscience bears witness to the truth of the scriptures, and the scriptures show us creation, we explain creation to us. But let us never forget we have the scriptures. In our text tonight in chapter 19 of Psalms, verses 1 through 6, he tells us about the world. And then he goes right into the Bible and tells us about the law. The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. On down through all seven claims for the Word of God. There's another one I like to dwell on. See, one time when Jesus took with him what's called the Mount of Transfiguration. He took with him Peter and James. John went up on a hill and recorded three different places in our New Testament. And the Bible said they saw the Lord transfigured, and his garments were whitened more than any fuller on earth could whiten them. Later on, when Peter is telling us about that, he says, we heard a voice speaking to us. Now, if I was up on a mountain, it wouldn't have to be a big mountain. If I was up on a mountain, there were no cell phone towers around. There was no cell phone service around. It was before cell phones were invented, and I can actually remember that time. And I heard a voice from heaven. He said, this is my beloved son, hear ye him. I'd probably pay attention to that. I'm sure it would have my undivided attention. And Peter later is relating this story. He says this. And this voice which came from heaven we heard when we were with him in the holy mount. We have also a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto you do well that you take heed, as unto a light that shineth in a dark place, until the day dawn and the dark star arise in your heart. People speaking from heaven have our attention. The stars has our attention. The sun has our attention. We find thunder and lightning has our attention. Earthquakes get our attention. Volcanoes get our attention. The Bible says we have something better right here. Better right here. And when we are reading this book like we're supposed to be reading this book, and we're doing this book like we're supposed to be doing this book, there is a confidence that comes into our heart and our life that can't come from anywhere else. The power of positive thinking won't do it. All the building of yourself up won't do it. Taking of all the vitamins and special food supplements that you can buy won't do it. But when we read in this book, and the Savior of our soul begins to communicate his word with our hearts begin to sing like nothing else will make them sing. Our hearts begin to sing in such a way nothing can still them. Nothing can quiet them. Nothing can compare to the music made by a saved soul when it's in the right relationship with the God of this book. And God, who went out of his way thousands, probably hundreds of thousands of times to show himself real, says, child of God, if you'll have the right relationship with me and spend time in this book. And then let this book spend time in you. If you'll ask me what you want me to do, what I want you to do, excuse me, and then you'll do what I ask you to do, you'll find out that the rockets will still go off and your world will still shake in a good way. And you'll smile at the trouble that comes into your life and you'll say, thank God I belong to Him. Let's bow our heads tonight, please.